Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Thursday, February 18th, 2016. I am Jason Powell on the website today at ProWrestling.net. TNA Impact and Total Divas viewership numbers already available. Darren Gutteridge's NXT and ROH hit list will be available this afternoon. Join Jake Barnett for live coverage of WWE SmackDown tonight. It'll feature the first appearance of Brock Lesnar on the show in 12 years. Plus, Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose face the Dudleys in the main event. And of course, final hype for Sunday's Fastlane. And of course, you can join me on Sunday for live coverage of Fastlane, beginning with the kickoff show, 6 Central, 7 Eastern. They're going to have the Kalisto and Alberto Del Rio best of three falls match available on the kickoff show. .NET members will be able to hear the exclusive audio review of WWE Fastlane that Jake and I will get together and do late Sunday night. Our new question of the week this week is, who should Undertaker face at WrestleMania 32 if John Cena is physically unable to perform? As always, please limit your responses to a paragraph. You can send them to me directly via email at dotnetjason@gmail.com. Just spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Or members, as always, can post their responses in the .NET members forum and the .NET audio section. Jake Barnett is going to be joining me on the show tomorrow, and we will be discussing those submissions, so you need to get them in as soon as possible. I would say no later than Friday morning if you want us to potentially read yours on the air, at least give us some fodder for our thoughts on the matter, which we will be giving. We will be talking about who we believe Taker should face and who we actually expect him to face, if there's any differences at WrestleMania 32, again, if John Cena can't go. Let's get into the NXT audio review. The show was taped on January 22nd. They were at the University of Central Florida. Of course, the show aired on WWE Network, and this was the February 17th edition. We had Tom Phillips and Corey Graves on commentary. We got a video package that opened the show with Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe. The opening match was an eight-man tag. It was Enzo Amore, Colin Cassidy, Chad Gable and Jason Jordan beating Dash and Dawson and Blake and Murphy in 9 minutes. This was a good eight-man tag match opener. The heels had a moment where they basically isolated Chad Gable, but then the baby faces made their comebacks, both of them hitting big moves. At one point, we saw Jordan Gable hit their finisher on Dawson, but Dash broke that up. And then we saw a big Cass launch Enzo off the top rope onto Dawson, and Enzo Amore got the pin that way. So I thought we might see a little bit of friction between the teams, given that there are four different tag teams in here. None. It was all hugs and handshakes afterward between the baby faces. The heels left together, so they didn't really set anything up going forward, but it was still an entertaining opening match for the television show. Alex Reyes interviewed Deonna Purrazzo, hopefully I'm pronouncing that one right, about her match with Asuka, and she was quickly interrupted, though, by Dana Brooke and Emma. They were basically claiming that they run NXT and saying that Asuka was lucky when she beat them, and Dana said that if Purrazzo thinks that she can do what they couldn't do, she's even more pathetic than she looks. So just, I like that they worked this in. I like, because it made it seem like Purrazzo isn't just a nobody. You know, they're actually taking the time to talk to her, even though they didn't really talk to her. I don't think she didn't really get to say much of anything here. But still, and then it, of course, gave Dana and Emma a chance to step in and heal it up a little bit. The second match was Asuka beating Purrazzo in 3 minutes. Purrazzo got a little bit of offense in, but I mean, it was a showcase match for Asuka, who's just amazing. I mean, she is just so damn good at what she does. And I'm really looking forward to her facing Bayley somewhere down the road. I think it's going to be a hell of a match once it happens, and very curious to see how it plays out. The finish of this was Asuka throwing I think it was three different spinning back fists and then following up with a kick before she got the clean win. The broadcast team then narrated some highlights of the women's title match from the week before that included an attack afterward by Eva Marie and Nia Jax, and Asuka running off the heel duo, and then this is where they showed Asuka acknowledging her interest in the NXT Women's Championship by kind of patting the title as Bayley was holding it, and so clearly setting up that match, and I just really looking forward to that. Backstage, we had Eva and Nia Jax delivering a promo about making a statement by attacking Carmella last week. Eva said Asuka needs to stay out of their business, and then Nia said Asuka will end up like the rest of the Divas division, broken. We ended up with a shot of Samoa Joe just backstage, just looking intense, sitting on a chair, getting ready for his match, which was the number one contenders match with Sami Zayn that we'll get to. And then they did announce officially that Bayley and Carmella would face Eva Marie and Nia Jax for next week. The third match on the show, Ty Dillinger ended up beating Alex Riley in 3:15. This was something where he kind of rolled through another roll, a Riley roll up, and got the win that way. And, you know, I got to say, I think this was more about Riley than it was Dillinger, because just the story that the broadcast team was telling with Phillips talking about how Riley is frustrated beyond belief, and he thinks that NXT is a cartoonish joke, and the basically saying that he's been overlooked, and he's showing that he's got a little bit of a different look, a little more rugged. He's also just showing some frustration. And so, I mean, I do think Dillinger is a guy they can do more with than they have, but I feel like in this case, it was just kind of setting up more, you know, building that frustration for Riley, who I think is going to get some sort of, well, looks like he's already had an overhaul. I just think they're telling a different story with him, and I'm all for it. I mean, I just, you know, Riley as a babyface wasn't really clicking, and I think this it's probably the best chance he's had as a wrestler to actually get something going. Now, whether he can take advantage of it and get the job done in the ring and that sort of thing, we'll see. But I like that they're at least trying something new with him. Backstage, we had Reyes interviewing Finn Balor, who was talking about Zayn and Joe, and saying that he would successfully defend his title against either man. We also saw Sami Zayn. Just a quick backstage cut. After commercial, they went to Baron Corbin storming into William Regal's makeshift office, which doesn't look nearly as nice as it does when they're on the road, of course. The office at Full Sail looks very nice. This one just looked like they set him up in the corner of like some backstage area. Just you could see like the black brick on the wall. You know what? I will take that as campy as it looked over some of WWE's main roster, like on Raw, some of the office sets that they have that just clearly look like sets. You know, they don't look like this is a traveling office. It just looks like a set. But Regal ended up saying that that Corbin lost a triple threat match, and therefore his decision's final. He is not getting into the rematch, the number one contenders match. Corbin said he believes in an eye for an eye, especially when it comes to stealing. I'm not really sure what heel logic the Corbin character has here. That's kind of the odd thing about this. He keeps lobbying for this, but there's really no good explanation as to why he should be back in this match. It's a real reach to say, well, nobody won. You were the loser, you know, of that match. And so it's kind of hard to buy into this one. I'm surprised they're going in this direction. I thought he might play a part in the main event, but that didn't happen. So they're obviously doing something with him. I'm just not sure what, and you know, I don't even remember what the spoilers were for this. But anyway, we ended up with the broadcast team hyping the Divas tag match, and then also announcing Blake and Murphy against American Alpha, Gable and Jordan for next week's show. Looking forward to both of those matches. Then we got ring entrances for the main event, which was Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn fighting to a draw, a double pin in 14:45. This match was, just on paper, you think Sami Zayn against Samoa Joe, this is going to be like red hot. You know, they did kind of a slow build. The way they started the match, you might have actually thought like they were going to have a really lengthy match. I mean, you knew just by looking at the time, if you were paying attention, that yeah, it's not going to be that. It was entertaining. It just never really kicked into that extra gear that would make it feel special, but I like the finish a lot. I really liked the way it was executed. I thought it was kind of a risky move coming off of what they did with the triple threat finish to have it, basically it was Zayn hitting the hell of a kick and then rolling up Joe, but he did so in a way where his shoulders were down too, and so the referee counts three. I don't think most of the fans in the building had figured out what was happening because they were happy Sammy won. And so when the referee told him no, there were some sounds of surprised fans. And then when the referee told Joe that he didn't win, which I thought the referee did a nice job here. It wasn't like they gave him the mic to announce this. He just, you know, had to kind of shake his head no, that you didn't win. And when he told Joe that, There were fans, of course, who were cheering for Joe, and there was sounds of surprise there. And then I think everyone kind of figured out what had happened, if they hadn't already, from the first time that the referee told Zayn no. William Regal comes out, and the referee explained to him that, they didn't give him a mic. This was just something we were picking up as viewers through the cameras, obviously intentional. But he was saying that the shoulders of both men were down, so his decision is that the match is a draw. And Regal, I know what they're going for here. Regal seen it all. You know, it's kind of hard to imagine that Regal would say this in response, but he was like, I need a number one contender. And the referee just repeated his decision. And Regal again asked who the number one contender is, and the ref's like, I can't tell you that. And the match was a draw. And then the show went off the air with the wrestlers and Regal both looking frustrated by this. So I assume we're going to get yet another match. I don't know if they somehow add Corbin to it, if he plays a part in it. Again, I don't remember what the spoilers were as soon as they go up. And Zach Zimmerman usually posts those. And then, I'll see them too. But I like to forget if I can, and in this case, I have. They've taped so much television that I just don't even remember at this point, which is always nice. I get to kind of see the show with a fresh perspective. Overall, I thought this was an improved effort. I liked that it was, compared to some of the recent television shows we've seen. There just were too many shows where it just kind of felt like they were filling some time. There really wasn't a purpose to it. You know, they'd kind of broken away from what they were doing late last year, where it was like, wow, this show, it's always been kind of a simplistic show, but now it felt like things were building to things. There were fewer filler type matches, and it just felt like it was more storyline strong, I guess is a way to put it. Everything felt like it mattered. Well, for the most part, you'd still get that filler match here and there, just showcasing somebody quickly, but it did feel like the shows were more meaningful. And then they went into this pattern where they kind of reverted to their old ways, where it's like, not so much. Let's fill some television time. But now it feels like we're kind of kicking into gear here. And there were things that led to matches for next week, things that set up the obvious need for a rematch here between Joe and Sami Zayn. And so it made for a really good hour of television. I enjoyed the show a lot. One little thing that I think Ring of Honor needs to take notice of, and it's simple, and it's not just a WWE thing. Other companies do it as well. One of my constant criticisms of the Ring of Honor television product is that they give away really good television main events, but they don't do anything to make you feel like those main events are special. Once in a while, you'll get an angle to set it up the week before. You may actually hear from those wrestlers occasionally during the show, but oftentimes, it's just once the show starts, Kevin Kelly and whoever his color commentator are, either Nigel McGuinness or Steve Corino, will tell you what the main event is, and then you just go into it cold. You know, and they're giving away really good main events. I even wrote this week before seeing the show that little things like cutting backstage and showing those wrestlers getting ready for the match. I mean, I'd like to hear from them. I'd like them to really do more to emphasize just how what a big match it is. There's just too many times in Ring of Honor where they throw these matches out there, and unless you are an ardent fan, a super indie fan even, you're not going to know who some of these guys are, why it's such a big deal. They don't do a good job of showcasing talent. They just assume you know who these guys are. And so I think there's things that they can some quick fixes. It's not even learned from NXT. It's not even learned from WWE. It's just overall. I mean, we've seen it done in boxing and MMA. So I don't know why Ring of Honor is kind of just so reluctant or stubborn to do that. I know they don't do a lot backstage, but that's one little thing that I think would help just emphasize that what people are seeing is special, especially since they never do it. Maybe it feels a little passe now when you see NXT do it. Maybe you didn't think it that much about seeing Joe and Zayn last night in those just quick backstage flashes. But I think if you take them away, you are going to notice, like, boy, why didn't they do more with that? And Ring of Honor hopefully is going to start doing some of that as we go forward. I just think it's such an easy, simple way to enhance their product. And obviously, again, it's not the key to everything. I'd love to hear more from the talent throughout those shows that are actually working in those main events. But again, a good overall edition of the NXT television show. By the way, I was filling in for Zach Zimmerman last week. He is visiting his grandparents this week, but Zach will be back next week with his live coverage of NXT and also his audio review that will be exclusive for .NET members next week. Speaking of .NET membership, the members will be listening to the new .NET Weekly audio show later today. John Moore and I will get together and discuss all the news of the week. The show runs about at least an hour in length. It's very rare that it's at least close to an hour, if not more than an hour. Sometimes it goes too damn long. But no, we will be discussing the WWE Fastlane event and how we believe it will set up WrestleMania 32, and of course, again, all the news of the week as well. And then the members are currently listening to my TNA Impact Wrestling television review from yesterday. They will also be hearing the weekly Ring of Honor television review with Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Gleed coming up later on today as well. If you are interested in membership, very simple, visit the main page at prowrestling.net. Once you are there, you will see the sign-up area, and you will see three different pricing options. The monthly rate is $7.50. If you want to whittle that price down, take our six-month or annual option. Taking the annual option will save you the most money. That will whittle that $7.50 price tag all the way down to $5.50 on average if you take that annual option. That is available, again, at prowrestling.net. You can also follow me on Twitter if you ever have any questions about membership or anything else. At prowrestlingnet is the place to go. Please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast, rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. Heck, for that matter, give us a retweet. I always post the notice that the daily podcast is available along with a short list of topics on my Twitter page at ProWrestlingNet. And you can help us spread the word just by giving a simple retweet about the show. It's always appreciated, whatever you do, to help spread the word about ProWrestling.net and this daily All-Access podcast. And as I mentioned earlier, Jake Barnett will be joining me tomorrow for the All-Access Daily Podcast. We will be talking about that Undertaker match at Mania 32. And I will be giving my thoughts on the Fastlane show, giving my predictions for the show during today's .NET Weekly. But we will get Jake's predictions during this show tomorrow. So until then, thank you very much for listening. Have a great day.